Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
There's something valuable about hearing our voice speak. And if I were to read the scripture to you today and you were just to hear it, it would probably sink in a little bit. But when we have to declare it and it comes from our own mouth, it changes a lot in the way that we understand what it is that we are being taught and what we need to learn. And so while you're standing, I want to read today's scripture with you. Will you do that? And I want you to join me. So we're going to be reading from Proverbs chapter 8 today. And so it's going to be on the screen. And I'm going to read it with you, and I want you to read it with me. Will you do that? We're just going to take our time, and we're going to walk through it. And this is what Proverbs chapter 8 says. It says, "Listen as wisdom calls out. Hear us, and understanding raises her voice. On the hilltop along the road, she takes her stand at the crossroads. By the gates at the entrance of the town, and on the road leading in, she cries aloud, 'I call to you, to all of you. I raise my voice to all people. You simple people, use good judgment. You foolish people, show understanding. Listen to me, for I have important things to tell you. Everything I say is right, for I speak truth and detest every kind of deception. My advice is wholesome. There is nothing devious or crooked in it. My words are plain to everyone with understanding, clear to those with knowledge. Choose my instruction rather than silver, and knowledge rather than pure gold. For wisdom is more valuable than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with it. I, wisdom, live together with good judgment. I know where to discover knowledge and discernment. All who fear the Lord will hate evil. Therefore, I hate pride, arrogance, corruption, and perverse speech. Common sense and success belong to me. Insight and strength are mine. Because of me, kings reign. Rulers make just decrees. Rulers lead with my help, and nobles make righteous judgments. I love all who love me, and those who search will find me. I have riches and honor, as well as enduring wealth and justice. My gifts are better than gold, than the purest gold. My wage is better than sterling silver. I walk in righteousness and paths of justice. Those who love me inherit wealth, and I will fill their treasuries. The Lord formed me in the beginning, before he created anything else. I was appointed in ages past, at the very first, before the earth began. I was born before the oceans were created, before the springs bubbled up, forth their waters, before the mountains were formed, before the hills I was born, before he had made the earth and the fields and the first handfuls of soil. I was there when he established the heavens, when he drew the horizon on the oceans. I was there when he sets the clouds above and when he established springs deep in the earth. I was there when he set the limits of the seas so that they would not spread beyond their boundaries and when he marked off the earth's foundations. I was the architect at his side. I was his constant delight. Rejoice always in his presence, and how happy I was with the world he created. How I rejoiced with the human family. And so, my children, listen to me, for all who follow my ways are joyful. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Don't ignore it. Joyful are those who listen to me, watching for me daily at my gates, waiting for me outside my home. For wherever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord. But those who miss me injure themselves, and all who hate me love death." Wow, what a powerful reading this morning. Do you agree? You turn to the person beside you and just say this as you're being seated. Choose wisdom. Will you do that? And you may be seated this morning. I have a question for you. What comes to your mind when you see something like this? What comes to your mind? Coffee, right? How many of you wish you could have a coffee right now? How many of you, what comes to your mind when you think of this, when you see this? What comes to your mind? Now, if you had to choose, which one would you choose right now? If I threw in this little sort of nugget of goodness right here, and you had to choose this morning, which one would you choose? Would you choose the, or would you choose to chew on a nice, crunchy, green, fresh? Pastor Maria started us off in our summer series, Finding Wisdom. And this morning, the title of my sermon is Wisdom or Foolishness. Which one will you choose? See, I believe that wisdom is all about the choices that we make. And sometimes we find ourselves in difficult situations because we have made choices that perhaps have not been the right choices to make. And this is not about broccoli and coffee, even though those may be choices we would make in the moment, but this is about making the right choices and the right decisions, because the choices you make determine the outcome of your life. So what is wisdom? And how do we become wise? Wisdom is often attributed to three things. The first one is that wisdom comes with old age. Have you ever heard that? If you're old or older, obviously you've lived some experience, you've gone through some stuff. I've heard people say to me, if you have gray hair, it's a sign of wisdom. And I'm like, okay, I'm slowly getting there. Slowly, it's coming a little bit, but year by year. But there's this idea that if we have lived some life and we've made some mistakes and we've learned from those mistakes, then we've gained a little bit of wisdom in the process. And there's truth to that, but it's not always true. Age does not automatically make you wise. I've met some older people older than me. I've had conversations with them, and quickly I discover, wow, you have not learned some lessons in life, and you're making decisions that are not good decisions. Age does not guarantee wisdom. Second one that we often attribute wisdom to is that we attribute wisdom to experience. So if we have more experience, if we've lived and experienced some things, then we gain wisdom out of those experiences. And there's truth to that statement, some truth to that statement, because if we have experienced things and we have done some things in our lives, then it obviously has gained us an experience that should translate into some wise behavior. But experience alone does not make you a wise person. We live in a time when global travel is like nothing we've ever seen in the history of humanity. Do you know that today there will be 93,000 airplanes that will take off from over 9,000 airports around the world? That means today there will be at least 3 million people flying around in the world to go someplace to experience something. To put that into context, it means that this week, from now until next week, all of Canada would get into an airplane and fly to some other part of the world. I mean, it's absolutely incredible when you think about how we are able to travel the world and have these incredible, amazing experiences. And yet, if you've ever traveled and been in an airport, you know that wisdom does not necessarily reign in those environments. People do foolish things. So experience alone does not guarantee wisdom. The third thing that we attribute wisdom to is we attribute wisdom to the boring category. You know what I mean by that, right? The boring category. It's like wisdom is good, but you know what? It kind of takes the fun out of life a little bit. It's fun to be a little reckless every once in a while. It's fun to throw caution to the wind and do something a little silly. I mean, I see this all the time. You see it on social media. Somebody will throw a chair off the end of a balcony because it seems like a really good thing to do at that moment, not thinking that when it hits the road below, somebody could get really hurt. So we kind of relegate wisdom to being good, but it takes the fun out of life. We see this in the movies. Not that I watch Hallmark movies by choice. But boy meets girl, girl likes boy. Conflict happens. They resolve the conflict. They get together. They throw caution to the wind. Let's do this, and we live happily ever after. It doesn't work that way. I wish it did, but it doesn't. Because in reality, reckless behavior leads to fear and anxiety and worry and danger. We put other people in danger. Reckless behavior often feels good in the moment, but it can lead to some long-term consequences that we will often regret because of those decisions that we've made. And I really believe this morning that some of us are sitting at the table of decision. And we need to decide what part of our life and what issues we are dealing with, how we're going to deal with them. And we need some wisdom, and we need to not relegate wisdom to the boring category. We need to see wisdom for what God intended it for. I looked up the definition of wisdom, and this is what I found. Wisdom is knowledge of the best way to do things, the best means of doing it, and the capacity to make good use of it. In other words, when we know something and we begin to put it into practice, it's not just an act or a behavior of putting something or just doing something, but it's actually making good use of it, making the best use of it. I looked up the definition of foolishness because I thought, okay, if that is the definition of wisdom, what's the definition of foolishness? And that is weakened intellect and understanding, are mentally weak and lacking judgment or discretion. So it's an interesting concept to talk about wisdom. Is wisdom just a list of rules that we need to follow? Is it some formula that we apply to our lives? Is it, if I eat this and I reject this, is it going to be okay? Is my life going to be wise? Am I going to be wise? Is it the absence of pleasure? And what Proverbs chapter 8 gives us is perspective on what wisdom looks like in daily life so that when it comes to us making choices, we are able to make the right choices. And so this morning, I want to point to three attributes that Proverbs chapter 8 gives us of wisdom. And here's the first attribute. Wisdom is a woman. According to Proverbs. From chapter 1 to chapter 8, we see that wisdom is personified as a woman. Now, ladies, don't nudge the person beside you and say, "See, I told you, you need to start listening to me." Because just so you know, when you get to chapter 9, folly and foolishness is also attributed to a woman. But don't jump to a conclusion yet, okay? Because there's a reason why the writer of Proverbs actually personifies wisdom as a woman. And here's the first one. Wisdom is nurturing. Wisdom is intended to encourage common sense. It's intended to help develop success. We don't all have instant success. Common sense doesn't come naturally. We need to learn it. It needs to be nurtured in our lives. And so when you get to verse 14 of chapter 8, you see this expression of this writer who says that wisdom encourages common sense. The verse before that says that wisdom hates evil, arrogance, corruption, and perverse speech. And the reason that the writer puts this into the context of femininity is because it is intended to help us to understand that wisdom in your life is not meant to be boring. It's meant to nurture you into a place where you are able to live and make decisions that are good and healthy for your life and beneficial not just for you but for those around you. Sounds a lot like parenting, doesn't it? There was a survey done that was asked, what is the purpose of life? And the number one response was to have fun, to be happy, or to have a good time. But what's interesting is when parents were asked the same question, their number one response was, I want my child to be happy. And the idea is that we will nurture our children in such a way that they will find life as good and a good place to be. Wisdom cares for us in the same way that a parent should care for their children. And if we neglect wisdom and we choose foolishness or folly, if we choose to do things that perhaps are not the best things to do in life, let's just throw caution to the wind. Let's just be a little reckless for a moment. When we do that, what we're saying is that that wisdom that is supposed to nurture us and encourage us, we're saying it's not important, and so we end up finding ourselves facing consequences that are not good for us. The term nurture means to train, upbringing, to encourage growth that turns into a healthy and secure life. Mothering, the term mothering means to the process of caring for children so that they can grow into healthy, vibrant individuals. And in the same way, the pursuit of wisdom is that wisdom will train you, bring you up, and encourage you so that you will be a healthy, vibrant individual. That is what wisdom does for us. Wisdom nurtures our decision-making. Now, I find this interesting because we see this concept throughout the scriptures from beginning to end. We see this. But in First John chapter 5, it talks about how we are meant to overcome the challenges of the world. That God gives us wisdom so that when we are facing whatever it is that we are facing, whether it's spiritual or physical, that we are given everything that we need to overcome the world, particularly to overcome the enemy of our soul. And so it says that everyone born of God overcomes the world. We are intended to conquer life's trials, but to do so with God's mind, using his wisdom, and solving problems with God. We have access to Christ. That's what Proverbs chapter 2 says. To bring, being filled with the Holy Spirit means receiving wisdom, and you are given that at the point of salvation. And so you are given everything that you need to live a holy and wise life. Verse 22 to 31 says, it reminds us that it's God's wisdom and God's creativity that formed creation. God's presence and active involvement in humanity is the nurturing gift of wisdom God has given to humanity. So this is what I'm trying to say. That you were never intended to live life as an individual and to seek wisdom on your own. I did a Google search just for fun to see what Google would tell me about wisdom. And what Google told me is that it's okay for you as an individual to find all the wisdom that you can find and put it into your life. And I thought, but how do I do that? How do I find wisdom on my own if I do not have a source of wisdom to draw from? We go back to the idea of having experiences, but experiences are not enough. We go back to the idea of age, but age is not a guarantee of wisdom. So we throw caution to the wind, thinking maybe the experience will help me that way, and it doesn't. Here's what I believe. I believe that God never intended for us to live separate from him, but that we were intended to live with him and for him, to have the mind of Christ, so that when we are facing the challenges, we have everything that we need to make the right decisions so that we become the people that God intended for us to become. Wisdom allows us to live out our purpose to its fullness. To reject it is foolishness. Here's the second reason why God's infinite wisdom is personified in a woman. Because in femininity, and not to say anything bad here, but just to say, how many of you have met a mother who will do anything for their child? Oh, no, you haven't met one? Oh, my goodness. You guys got to get out more. I've been in places where I've seen moms just, You know, child walks just a little ways away. When I was growing up, my mom used to just kick me out the door and say, go play, go entertain yourself. But nowadays, it's like moms will watch every move their child make. They will run after them. A child falls, they run to grab them. Moms care about their children, right? And moms will, come on, you're so quiet this morning. Moms will do anything for their children. Why? Because they want to keep them safe so that they will become grown adults and live out their purpose in life. At least I assume that's the reason. I'm not a mom, so you tell me. By referring to wisdom or personifying a woman, wisdom as a woman, is that it reflects the protective nature of God. With God's wisdom, there is spiritual protection. There is spiritual protection over your soul. There is spiritual protection over your mind and your will and your emotions. You see, so many times we are willing to do the foolish things in life and reject the wise things in life and then wonder, why do I feel so down? Why do I feel so hopeless? Why do I feel so helpless? You are never meant to be separated from God in this, but that God would be the one to give you the wisdom so that it protects the way that you think, the decisions that you make, and the things that you do. Jesus said this in Mark chapter 8. He said, well, what will it benefit you if you gain the whole world and you lose your own soul? What if you could have everything in this world, but you don't have the wisdom of God? See, when Jesus made these statements, he was really saying, hey, listen, you need to listen to my instruction, because if you listen to my instruction, you will have life. But if you reject it and ignore it, even if you gained everything in the world, you will lose your own soul. So what do you gain from that? Goes on to talk about, to say, you know, a wise man built a house on a rock, and when the storms came, he survived it. But when the foolish person built his house on the sand, the storms came and it destroyed it. And the point that he was trying to make is that God's desire for you is to put you into a place where your wisdom and his wisdom create safety for your soul. So at the end of the day, you don't lose. You may lose your house, you may lose your car, even though Jesus said you don't have to worry about those things because he will provide. But what he is saying is that at the end of the day, you will not lose your soul, which is eternity, which is forever. Psalms 91 says, those who live in the shelter of the Most High find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. It's a spiritual protection. You see, the enemy seeks to steal and to kill and to destroy your life. He will try to make things look good when they're not. Because if he can destroy you, he destroys the image of God. Psalms 91 says, though 1,000 fall at your side and 10,000 are dying all around you, these evils will not touch you. Why? Because if you have made God the shelter of your life, you will find rest in his shadow. That's his wisdom. True wisdom was never meant to be an individual pursuit. True wisdom was meant to be the coming together of God, your creator, and you, the human. And you will discover the true meaning of why you exist. If you jump ahead to Proverbs chapter 9, you begin to see the contrast to all this idea of wisdom. And in chapter 9, it says that foolishness or folly, which is also personified in a woman, represents the attractions and the dangers of adultery and unfaithfulness. And she's called Madame Folly. You see, we need to be careful that we do not deceive ourselves into thinking that we are wise when we are not. I love last week's sermon. How many of you appreciated the sermon of avoiding the pitfalls that Pastor Marie gave us? If you haven't seen it, you haven't heard it, go to our website, pbclife.ca. Go to our podcast and listen to it again. You see, I find it interesting that the enemy who seeks to steal and kill our soul and destroy us loves to try to take this idea that something that is not good for you is good for you. You saw this in the Garden of Eden in Genesis, where the serpent came along and convinced Eve that, is that really bad? Is that really what God meant? And by taking what was evil, which was rebellion against God, and making it look, oh, it's okay, you're not going to get in trouble for this, he deceived humanity. And we have lived in that deception ever since. And because we live in that deception, we find ourselves having to face challenges and issues. And when we choose to do that on our own, thinking that we have enough wisdom, I have gained enough experience, I know what I need to do, I don't need to ask God for help. When we do that, we find ourselves actually foolishly putting ourselves in a very difficult situation. 1 Corinthians 2, don't deceive yourself. If you think you are wise by the world's standards, you need to become foolish to be truly wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. And the scripture says, he traps the wise in the snare of their own cleverness. Why did the writer of Proverbs, if I go back to chapter 8 for a moment, why did the writer of Proverbs teach us of avoiding the pitfalls? I think if I was writing Proverbs, I would have said, hey guys, listen, Proverbs is amazing. Wisdom is amazing. I would do a whole sales pitch on this and say, you need to sign up right now. Here's the bottom line. Just put your name on this. Take wisdom because it's absolutely incredible. And if you do that, then when the pitfalls come, here's how you're going to respond to it. But instead, the writer of Proverbs actually reverses and says, hey, listen, here's the pitfalls you need to be careful of. This is what adultery is going to do to your marriage. Here's what deception is going to lead you. You need to be careful of these pitfalls, because if you're not aware of them, you will not understand the value of wisdom. And he reverses that whole idea of where wisdom and foolish behavior comes. And so the writer of Proverbs is actually trying to help us to understand that wisdom is more valuable than anything that you could ever achieve in life, but you need to be careful, because the moment that you think you become wise and pride sets in, it becomes a pitfall in your life. And we need to be aware of that as we are making the decisions to say, I need God's wisdom in my life. I just bought myself a new skateboard. How many of you think that was a wise decision? I know, I'm 57 years old. It's okay. I think you should enjoy life a little bit. I didn't just buy a skateboard. I actually bought an e-board, an electric skateboard. And this thing goes really fast. And so I have used wisdom. I started wearing a helmet. I've never worn a helmet before, but I thought, you know what? If I crack my head open, that's not going to be a good thing. The other night, I went out in the dark for a skateboard ride. I know, I'm making wise decisions like crazy here. And I'm going down the street. I love going out at night because all the cars are gone. I have the street to myself. I can just carve back and forth and I can just have fun. And so I was out doing that and I went into the shadow of a tree where I could not see what was on the road, and I hit a manhole cover. And my skateboard stopped. My body did not. Lady Wisdom's counsel is intended to protect her followers from Madam Folly's deceptiveness. You see, if I had known that there was a manhole cover in that particular moment, I would have avoided it. I would have not drove over it and went flying down the road trying to catch my balance. I would have cruised by and kept on going and enjoyed the rest of the evening. And see, that's what the writer of Proverbs is trying to tell us by telling us to avoid the pitfalls. Take a look. There are some things in front of you that are going to cause you damage if you are not aware that they are there. But I want you to understand that if you will learn to avoid the pitfalls, and here's what they are, then here's the wisdom that God has for you. And it is better than silver. It is better than gold. You can achieve everything that the world has to offer, but you will never achieve what is best for you until you know the wisdom of God in your life. That's why Proverbs says, avoid the pitfalls. Be aware of what they are. Navigate around them. Don't give in to them. Don't let the enemy destroy your life. Don't get into making decisions that are wrong and unhealthy and what God never intended for you. But begin to make the decisions that God has purposed for your life. This is what he said. This is what Proverbs 8 says in verse 10. Choose my instruction rather than silver, knowledge rather than gold. For wisdom is far more valuable than rubies, and nothing you desire compares to it. In the 1980s, and I know that that probably eliminates most of you in this room, but in the 1980s, you might remember that we used to sing a song that went something like this. Lord, you are more precious than silver. Do you know this one? Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds, and nothing. We used to sing that as a declaration out of this chapter to remind us of the most valuable thing that we have in our lives. It is God. And God, in his great wisdom, gives us all that we need so that we are able to deal with the challenges and the issues of life. The writer says that for us to obtain wisdom is more valuable than anything else. Here's what Jesus said in chapter 13 of Matthew. He said, to obtain what is more valuable than anything else is to obtain the kingdom of heaven. And what he is saying is that these things are obtainable. The Apostle Paul went on to say that what is more valuable than anything else, it's knowing Christ. Is it a contradiction? The answer is no. You see, because knowing Christ fulfills knowing wisdom. When we know Christ and we have the mind of Christ, then we have the mind of God. And when we have the mind of God, we have the mind of wisdom. And so the writer here is encouraging us to recognize that God is the one who created wisdom even before he put the world into place. God is the source of all wisdom. And when we are looking to him to make the decisions that we need to make, we can find what it is that we need to live a good, healthy life. So, first attribute of wisdom is a woman. Nurturing, protective. Here's the second one. Wisdom is obtainable. In verse 17 to 21, the writer goes on to say that wisdom, this is wisdom speaking, I love all who love me. Those who search will truly find me. I have riches and honor as well as enduring wealth and justice. My gifts are better than gold, than the purest gold. My wages better than sterling silver. I walk in righteousness and paths of justice. And those who love me inherit wealth, and I will fill their treasuries. Someone might think, well, then if I'm wise, I will be rich, right? I've heard sometimes preachers use this scripture to suggest that if you will just name it and claim it, you will get it. But it's not true. Yes, there is a truth in the fact that wisdom is good in business. If we use wisdom in business, chances are we will succeed, at least better than someone who behaves foolishly. But it's not an absolute rule. We live in a broken world where we see that scoundrels and evil people can get ahead and by doing wicked things, and we see righteous people who go through tragic circumstances that drain them of money and energy. The book of Proverbs is really a book filled with principles and not promises. Principles are rules and doctrines that we take from Scripture to apply to the habits of our life. But here's the key. You ready for this? If promises are what God says he will do, then the principles are what God says we should do. And Proverbs is a book of principles to teach us of what we should do so that we can stand on the promises of God and know that if God has said it, he will do it, and we can trust him in that. Christians can cling to the promises of the Bible because they belong to Jesus Christ. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you belong to him. All of God's promises are ours because of him. But sometimes I think we don't live in the promises of God. We don't experience them. And I think that we don't experience them because we have allowed things into our lives that hinders the blessings of God. I think that we want God to do things, but we have not practiced the principles. We want to say God has promised this, but then we go out and we do other things and other behaviors. I shared this with staff a little while ago where I'd gone through an injury. And I didn't ask God to heal me of the injury. Because what I discovered is that I had some bad practices that caused that injury. And no, it wasn't on a skateboard. But if I really wanted to be healed, I needed to put good practices into place. Then, when I ask God to heal me, I can live in the promise that I am healed because of the practices are the right and true practices that I've learned from the Word of God. We need to put our practices into place because a lack of faith and a lack of unbelief or disobedience or rebellion or not being prepared as we ought to be when it comes to dealing with life issues can actually cause more damage than good. Even if God were to fulfill His promise in our life, if we are still living in rebellion, then we are still in rebellion. We've still lost everything. You want to walk in the promises of God, then put into practices the principles of God. Disobedience is the unwillingness to adhere to God's commands, plainly doing something different from what God has asked us to do. You should know this. Let me tell you this, that most of God's promises are obtained through obedience. When we live in obedience to His commands, we see God's promises in our lives. But when we are consistently doing things that are against God's will, we are rebelling against Him. There's a long list in the book of Proverbs, and I'm glad that we're just taking it a little bit at a time. But throughout the book of Proverbs, we see the things of foolishness and folly that can cause destruction in our lives: anger, dishonesty, greed, hatred, hot temper, immorality, injustice, jealousy, a lack of mercy, laziness, and the list goes on and on. When these behaviors are evident, we are not living the principles of God. And if we do not live within the principles of God, then how can we expect to live on the promises of God? So verse 32, 33 says, "So my children, listen to me. For all who follow my ways are joyful. Listen to my instruction. Be wise. Don't ignore it." I'm going to invite our worship team to come back. And just as they are, here's the third attribute of wisdom. First one was, wisdom is nurturing and protective. The second attribute of wisdom is that it is obtainable. You can gain wisdom. It's not elusive. God intended for you to be able to discover wisdom. So here's the third one. Wisdom always wins. Wisdom always wins. I don't know what decision you need to make in your life this week. I don't know what family challenge you will have to face. I don't know what work or economic situation you're going to have to make a decision about. And it might feel easy to be able to take the easy road, throw caution to the wind, take that risk, and maybe be dishonest about something or allow greed to make a decision, hoard for yourself and not care for others. Whatever it may be, I want to tell you this morning that wisdom sometimes is not an easy path, but if you choose to do what is right, it always wins. It may not be immediate that you see the response, but the response will be there because I can tell you, wisdom wins every time. It wins every time. And God is not distant and unapproachable, but He is near and accessible so that when we call to Him and ask Him, He will hear us. So here's the question for this morning. What table are you going to stand at? In the table of decision, what is your decision going to be? Will you choose what is wise and best, or will you choose to do what just feels good in that moment or seems right in that moment because it will get you ahead for a moment. I love what James chapter 1, verse 5 says. It says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, that whenever you face trials of any kind, know that is the testing of your faith that produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and lacking nothing. And if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." Don't you love God? Don't you love the fact that he doesn't just put us here and say, "Good luck with it. I hope to see you one day." That God actually cares enough to say, "Listen, if you need wisdom, ask me for it." I love that one line, "God who gives generously." Kind of speaks against the greed sort of thing, right? If God is so willing to give generously out of his great wisdom, how much more do we need to be generous with those around us? But I just love that image, that God will give generously to all. And I love the next line, "without finding fault." I've made mistakes, folks. I've made decisions that in hindsight I go, "Man, I shouldn't have done that. Yeah, that wasn't a good one." And yet when I still come to God and say, "God, I need wisdom," he never lets me down. He gives generously without finding fault. That's what I love about salvation. Salvation is giving you a brand new beginning. The old passes away, the new begins. I love that image of God, that when we come to him for wisdom, I may have made some bad decisions in my life, but I can start new today, and I can stand at the table of decision and say, "I'm going to start to do what is right today, right now." Right now. This may mean you're going to have to go home and make some declarations. You may be standing at the table of decision about a relationship. And some things might look good in the moment, but you know you ought not to be there. And you will need to go home and make a decision and say, "I'm going to do what is right." It might mean saying to someone, "I don't want to see you anymore." It may mean going to work tomorrow and saying, "I'm going to be honest in all my business transactions." It might mean calling up someone who's been a part of your life for a long time, but they lead you down a path that isn't a good and healthy path, and you find yourself doing foolish things because they keep leading you there, and you're going to need to stand at the table of decision and say, "I've had enough of that behavior. I need to do what is right, and if you are not coming with me, then I can't have you a part of my life." That's a hard decision to make. I made that decision once with somebody because they kept influencing me in a way I did not want to be influenced, because I wanted the wisdom of God. I did not want to live the foolishness of this world. And so distance came between me and them. But I don't regret it, because wisdom wins every time. So you need wisdom. We ask and we believe. And when we ask and we believe, this is what verse 6 says of James chapter 1. When you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like a wave in the sea that is blown and tossed in the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord, because you're double-minded and unsuitable in what you do. So don't doubt. You need wisdom today? Will you stand with me? Do you need wisdom today? Is there something going on in your life where it's like, "God, I need your help"? So worship team sings this song again, "Worthy of It All." Will you do me a favor? Would you lift your hands? You don't have to put them high. Just open the palms of your hands towards God and say, "God, this is my situation. I'm giving it to you. I'm asking you for wisdom. I'm asking you to give generously. Help me to live out the principles of your word so that I can live in the promises of your word. God, this is my situation today. I will do whatever your word instructs me to do. I choose wisdom over foolishness. And I will trust you with my life. Will you do that?
Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you accepted Christ for the first time today, we want to help you with next steps. Please email us at prayer@ppclife.ca, and a pastor or volunteer will be in touch with you. We pray that you have a wonderful and safe day or night, and we'll see you soon, church family.